السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My respected honorable elders and beloved brothers in Islam, once the great Hassan al-Basri had purchased a slave from the slave market, and as he took the slave back towards his home, he asked him, "What is your name?" Now he is the owner of the slave, and he asked the slave, "What is your name?" The slave responded, "Can a slave have any other name but that name which the master is happy with?" Then he asked him, "What are your meal preferences? What would you like to eat?" Again the same reply came, that "Can a slave have any preferences but that which the master would prefer to feed the slave?" And he went on asking other questions, like, "What type of clothing would you like to wear?" And the same answer came, "Does a slave have a preference of clothing besides that which the master prefers?" On this, Hassan al-Basri fell unconscious. After he gained consciousness, people began to wonder. They asked him, "What is the reason of your unconsciousness?" So he replied, and he said, "I am only the superficial owner of the slave. I just paid a price and I purchased him. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is our creator? Allah brought us from absolute nothingness, non-existence. Allah ta'ala brought us into existence. Allah ta'ala is our owner. Allah has decreed our taqdeer. Allah gives us so many different ni'mats. How are we then going to enslave ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" Before we go forward, the one important aspect about being the superficial owner of whatever we possess. Tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, when we stand in front of Allah, unclothed, barefooted, we will not be owning one thread. Whatever we had in this dunya, forget, it is no more ours, it no more exists. All those things that made us comfortable, possibly made us proud, possibly gave us some conceitedness, and Allah forbid, sometimes some arrogance. But the truth of it is that we are the superficial owners of all of that. Maliki yawmiddin, Allah is the Malik of everything. In this world, Allah owns everything. But yet Allah Ta'ala makes particular mention on the day of Qiyamah of Maliki Yawmiddin, that in this world, okay, Allah has given us some kind of ownership, no matter how superficial it may be, but there on the day of Qiyamah, there is absolutely no ownership. So when Hasan al-Basri realized that this is really how a slave is supposed to be enslaved to Allah, that we will eat what Allah wants us to eat. We will be clothed with the clothes that Allah desires us to be clothed with. Then how am I going to enslave myself to that Allah? Once Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh was walking down the street in Karachi. At that time, his honorable sons, Allah grant them life with khair and afiyat. They were young at that time, and a beggar came to Mufti Saab, and he had put his hand in his pocket to take out something to give to this beggar. And one of the sons said, Abbaji, this man is a professional beggar, he is not deserving. Now that part captivated his mind, and that reality sunk into his heart, and he turned to his son and he asked him, am I deserving of any one single ni'mat of Allah? Am I deserving of any one single ni'mat of Allah? Friends, that is the reality. The ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has showered upon us. Alam taraw anna Allah sakhara lakum ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard wa asbagha alaykum ni'amahu zahiratan wa batina. Wa asbagha alaykum ni'amahu zahiratan wa batina. When Allah speaks about his ni'mats upon us, then Allah Ta'ala says, Allah makes isbagh. Allah pours those ni'mats upon us. Every second, Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats come upon us. There is no decimal of a second that is free of the ni'mats of Allah. Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that science, with all its technology and advancement, can possibly calculate the number of raindrops. Today, the barometer will be able to tell you how many millimeters of rain. But a time could come when in a square meter, it could tell you how many drops of rain has fallen on the ground. But science can never tell you in one single second how many ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come upon us. So Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has shown one aspect of being a slave to Allah in view of the ni'mats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down to us, upon us all the time. And all the time, are we looking at these ni'mats of Allah? Are we appreciative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all these ni'mats? Or is it that we often forget the ni'mats of Allah? Allah Ta'ala himself complains in the Quran, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. Certainly man is kanood. Man is very unappreciative of the ni'mats of Allah. So ulama have expressed that on the one hand we find that the ni'mats that Allah gives us, sometimes we utilize that same ni'mat in the disobedience of Allah. There are times, and this is life, that we go through the system of life with ease and difficulty, prosperity, but at the same time there will be adversities. Unfortunate is that person whose gaze falls on the difficulties and one cannot see and becomes oblivious of the very many ni'mats and favors of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon us. And hence, sometimes we do not acknowledge the bountiful Allah, yet we indulge in the bounties of Allah. There was a person that went to Ibrahim bin Adham, alayhi rahma, He was a saint, a wali of his time. And he expressed that I'm drowning in sin and I fail to come out of it. So, Ibrahim bin Adham, for whatever his reasons may be, he said to the person that when you are on the verge of committing the sin, then stop eating the ni'mat of Allah. Stop whatever Allah has given you, stop taking those ni'mats. Don't drink from the ni'mats of Allah. The person asked, how is that possible? Bishr Hafi was a great wali of Allah. He says once on the plains of Arafat, I heard a person make dua to Allah. And he said to Allah, oh Allah, these ni'mats that you have granted, and these ni'mats that shower and pour down upon us, if I have to make a sajda on thorns and hot needles, my forehead is being pierced with all of that, and I make sajda, oh Allah, I still cannot appreciate 1/10 of a 10th of your ni'mats. That is 100. And then he began to think, and he said, Ya Allah, no, 100th of 100. I'm still unable to make shukr for that. Ubayd Khawas was also a great wali of Allah. And somebody observed him on Arafat. And he's making this dua to Allah Ta'ala. And he's saying to Allah, how many times have I slipped? Obviously, because of my ignorance, my heedlessness, I've slipped and I fell into sin. Now, when these walis speak about sin, we may even mistaken it for a virtue. It is not like it was the abuse of the eyes or the tongue or any other limb or organ. It may have been little slip-ups and errors. But then Allah, you continuously showered your hilm, your tolerance upon me. On the one hand, you never exposed me, and on the other hand, you never shut off that supply of sustenance. This is Allah. That we break the commandments of Allah, our bodies still function, we're still breathing that air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our eyes are still functioning, our senses are still functioning, and yet we are in the disobedience of Allah, then can we understand the tolerance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Ibrahim bin Adham said to this person that if you have this urge of committing sin, then shut off from that rizq and sustenance of Allah. Now how can a person do that? So the person replied, it's not possible and unable to do so. So he said, okay, then simple, move away from the earth of Allah. Go some other place, out of this planet of earth, and go do whatever you have to do. So the person looked at him in surprise, that how is it possible that I move away from earth, and I do what I have to do, and I commit the sin. So Ibrahim bin Adham took it another step further. And he said, then my brother, go and commit your sin at a place where Allah cannot see you. Now we all know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Does man not know that Allah beholds him? On this, many of our ulama have stated that the beholding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the seeing of Allah ta'ala, is not that Allah wants to see us and when we err, Allah ta'ala pounces on us. It is not like that. It is that gaze of Allah shafqat. Allah ta'ala watches us with that gaze of Allah's rahmah. A child is crossing the street, a busy street, the mother is on the verge and she can see the cars are coming and a little child is moving. How would that mother watch that child to make sure the child is safe? To much greater extent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beholds us so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may guide us. So nonetheless, now he began to think, I cannot leave the ni'mats of Allah, the rizq of Allah. I cannot go to any other planet. I cannot commit the sin in any place where Allah is not beholding, Allah is not watching. Then Ibrahim bin Adham took it another step further. And he said, fine, at the time of your maut, when Malakul Maut approaches you, then at that time, ask him for respite, tender an apology. I'm not ready at this moment. Now that also is impossible. It's going to happen on its time. And now the person began to think, and then Ibrahim bin Adham took it to the last stage, that my brother, if Allah Ta'ala so wills, and Allah makes the decision of Jahannam for you, then at that time, stop the angel from taking you into Jahannam. Friends, this is the reality. This is the reality of it, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us so many ni'mats, but what does Allah Ta'ala want from us is that we become obedient. We become the slaves of Allah. We enslave ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every rakat of our salat, we are reading, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een. Malik ibn Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi, in one tahajjud, he is reciting and he goes through this ayat, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een. And then Malik ibn Dinar falls down, unconscious. And after he gains consciousness, he makes a statement that what a lie I am speaking. And this lie I am speaking to Allah. People did not understand that I am saying to Allah that Iyaka na'budu, it is you alone that we worship, but is it only Allah that we worship? Is it not that the accumulation of the sustenance of Allah that He grants us through His rahmah and captures us and we become enslaved in that? أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the different types of slavery that man goes through. And one type of slavery is that when we become the slaves of our own desires, that we do whatever we want to do and we think we're free. But the reality is we're enslaved. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about the slavery of dinar and dirhams, the slavery of silver and gold. We enslave ourselves sometimes to our professions, to our businesses, and we think we're free. The freedom we get is when we enslave ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah ta'ala gives us that freedom. So one is to be an abid of Allah. Abid means simply a worshipper of Allah, of course, with a great deal of dedication. And all of us, we make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And then the other aspect is to become an abd of Allah, to become the real slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what is the difference between being an abid, a worshipper? The month of Ramadan has passed, 1 month almost gone. In the month of Ramadan, we offered different forms of ibadat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not too late for us to carry on that momentum But we need to heighten our focus. We need to heighten our intentions for the sake of Allah. That Allah, you had given me the opportunity of ibadah. Now Allah, give me the opportunity of becoming your abd. Ya Allah, give me the opportunity of becoming your slave. And friends, how are we really going to become the slaves of Allah? Ulama have written that the abd, he will do according to the ahkam of Allah. What comes down from Allah, he will fulfill the ahkam, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A real abd will be concerned about being happy with whatever the taqdeer of Allah ta'ala is after he has served Allah by ibadat. On many occasions, we fulfill the hukam of Allah, we make the ibadat of Allah, but very rarely do we begin to think, see, one is to accept whatever happens. And when we look at Sahaba, they didn't just accept, but what happened with Sahaba, they were pleased with whatever conditions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed upon the Sahaba. We say, radiyallahu anhum. May Allah ta'ala be pleased with them. Allah ta'ala says, waradu an, and they were pleased with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now we need to ask the pertinent question, that when we looked broadly at the lives of Sahaba, from the first day that our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proclaimed this da'wat of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. If you look at Sahaba, there were those like Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was dragged on the hot sands of Makkah. There were others that were whipped. There were others that had to give up their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will see even in the earlier stages of Madinah Tayyibah, although they had made hijrat, but there were difficulties that the Sahaba had gone through. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu would fall in his salat in the masjid, not for any other reason, but because of extreme hunger. At the battle of Trench, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had to tie those stones onto their bellies or the rocks onto their bellies because of extreme hunger. There were those campaigns that they did not have sufficient footwear and they had to walk a thorny destination. But in all of this, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that is how we become the abd of Allah. That we need to understand that whilst we serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whatever difficulties may come our way, then we must acknowledge that this is from Allah and we pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether this spans in our business activities or any other activities of ours, we need to simply understand that these conditions come upon us by Allah Rabbul Izzat. Now when we become the slaves of this earth, of this world, and we try to serve ourselves and our own desires, then undoubtedly we begin to forget our responsibilities to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And that impacts on the focus of our hearts. It impacts on the way we think. It impacts on our lifestyle and it will impact on our akhirat. Fariduddin Attar was a person that sold itar. And we know those of us that went to the Middle East, in the Haramain, in the Eastern countries, these people that sell itar, we will always find a lot of glass. The shelves are also made of glass. The itar itself is put into glass. And behind that we will see a lot of mirrors all made of glass. So, a pious personality that looked as though he was an impoverished beggar, he comes into the shop of Fariduddin Attar. And he just looks at him. Not looking at the commodities, but looking at him. And we know that if a customer just stares at us, he's not buying, it becomes irritable. And now he became irritated. And so he asked the person, why are you staring at me like this? So the person commented, I'm wondering, how are you going to give up your ruh at the time of your death? Fariduddin Attar immediately began to reflect, but there was that irritability, and he said to the man, what are you talking about? So the person said that your heart and soul is engrossed in all of this. And at the time of your death, your soul will not want to leave because it's attached, it's stuck into all of these things. And it's going to be a terrible moment. So Fariduddin Attar was now up to his neck with this. And he said to the person, why don't you worry about your own life? Many a times when ulama speak about maut, we even make that comment, this is not a topic for us, not now. So Fariduddin Attar was in that category. So the man said to him, are you sure I should worry about my own death? Do you want to see how I die? So he said, yes, go die. So the person lied down facing Qibla and he said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his ruh left him and he passed away. This became the changing point of Fariduddin Attar. Friends, let us gain focus. Life is short. It is a journey. We all have to go through this destination. Let us become, on the one hand, the worshippers of Allah, the abid of Allah, and on the other hand, let us become the real and true abd of Allah, that we give our everything to Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. And may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless us with the maut on Iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.